And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today on our Wednesday edition of the show. We have Cody Caws here today. And you know what? I'm laughing because I have said his last name like 17 different ways since I first started talking to this kid. And I've gone Caws, you know, every way it looks like it's spelled. And it's just wild how it is Caws, Cody Caws. It doesn't even look that way. Anyway, we're getting into like the nitty gritty of his last name for some reason here. And that's not what this show's about. What I do want to talk about is how talented this kid is. He's got it. He has aligned himself with some of the best in the industry. He's being mentored by the absolutely incredible Craig Campbell, who we have also had the pleasure to meet in person here in Boston about a year and a half ago now. Great dude. Would absolutely love to have Craig on the show. So, Craig, if you're listening to this, we would love to have you, man. We have a blast here. You're doing a hell of a job with Cody. Keep it up. Thank you so much for his talent in showing this kid the way. I think he's got a huge career ahead of him in country music. And not to mention, when Cody gets the call to get into that circle, we will be there. And you know what? That conversation and that story is going to be coming up here in a minute. So again, Cody, thank you so much for coming on today. If you are here for the first time, thank you so much for joining us. Check us out on all of our socials. Instagram and Facebook is where you get most of this stuff. TikTok, we got some stuff out there. We got a lot of followers. We appreciate all y'all. In 2024, we're going to start doing more of the TikTok. I know I said that last year going into 23, but you know, full transparency, we've had a hell of a year. You know, we've had some ups and downs, and you know, things just got pushed to the side, and that's one of the things I did, and we're gonna rectify that here in 24. So thank you so much for coming along for the ride, and for everybody that listens on a weekly showly basis. Thank you so much for being here. Without you, this conversation and these shows don't happen. So thank you so much again. Go to our website, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com, for reviews, and you can get our episodes there. And we are working on things. We are working on things there to get more content on there. So just stay tuned, guys. We appreciate it. It's a work in progress. I'm a one-man show, and you know, it's hard. It's hard doing it all by yourself, but we're doing it. We're killing it. And we thank you all for all the support. Without further ado, our conversation with Cody is ahead. Thank you for all of our sponsors and our friends that we're going to talk about as the episode goes on. So thank you to everybody. And thank you to you for listening. Without further ado, enjoy our conversation with Cody Caws. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hey.
All right, I think I got it.
Here we go.
Sorry, man. Jesus. I was like, the original thing was like, this does not support your browser. You need to download the app if you want to use the microphone. And I was like, what the heck? So then I tried to download it. So I just figured I'm going to just go straight to Google.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird because sometimes, you know, some people can just click and be ready to go.
And then others, same thing you're just describing. It's the wildest thing.
Right.
It's like it picks and chooses who it's gonna, yeah. who it's going to fuck with. Stupid. Well, Cody, thanks for being here, man. This has been like a long time coming, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's great to finally, you know, sit down and shoot the shit and talk about you a little bit.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you even wanting to have me on. It really is means a lot to me just to tell my story with you and get to know you a little better.
Yeah, man. And you just nailed it. I want you to tell your story, how you got here, where you're, you know, you're doing some cool shit, man. And it's awesome to see.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So how does young Cody from all the way out in Colorado become a little older Cody in Nashville, Tennessee?
Man, it's a pretty wild story. I mean, like I've sang my whole life. You know, I grew up here in Colorado singing and, you know, didn't start learning to play guitar until 2015, but it was just something I always kind of kept real hidden. I had a lot of stage fright growing up and, you know, I would get the courage built up from my family, you know, to sing at a wedding, sing a song at a wedding, or, you know, I did the only true thing that I remember doing when I was, you know, really growing up was my mom put me in this local talent show and I lost to this girl who played Beethoven and I sang Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. And, you know, and I look back on it now, you know, I can't play piano at all. So, but I was like, man, if I could read off a sheet, I remember telling myself that I probably would have won too, you know, and it was just like, man, so there was something in me that was just like this competitive, you know, I was real upset that I lost and, you know, and my parents were like, but did you have fun doing it? And I was like, I said, no, because I was just really scared. I was really shy up on the stage and I kind of didn't really move around at all. And, you know, so I kind of took that feeling and really just concealed, you know, everything that I had kind of vocally in me. And, you know, I just went about my life and I kept, you know, playing sports and football. Football was kind of my main thing. And, you know, going into high school, it was something I just had kept hidden. And I ended up singing at church one time. And it just so happened that the choir teacher at my high school was playing piano that day for the church music group. And so I get called up to sing and she's just watching me. And after mass had ended, she was like, why didn't you say that you could sing like that? And I said, cause I didn't want anybody to know that I could sing. So, that very next day, Monday, this was my junior year of high school. I get, intercommed down to her room, from another class. And she was like, I want you to sing this song for me, which ended up being Hallelujah. And the band teacher was in there as well. And he decided to film me on his phone. And I kind of didn't really think anything of it. In fact, I kind of just didn't even realize he was doing that. I had just recently, you know, gotten a smartphone and kind of wasn't really big on social media as I had Facebook. You know, I don't think I even had Instagram at that time. You know, but that was in 2016. So kind of a long time ago. And the guy ended up posting this video and I remember it was like 500 views that by that evening. And I was freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, this is, and then it was like 2000 views by the time I went to bed. And by the time I woke up to go to school the next morning, it was like at 15,000 views. It was just all over Facebook. And I went to school that next day and it was just like, you know, it was like the talk of the school and I was kind of overwhelmed by it all, but it was really cool. It was the first time that something like that had happened for my music life. And so, but all of my friends, my best friends kind of dogged on me for it. And so I kind of just, again, kept that hidden because I just didn't get the right, you know, responses. And so then I just continued, like I said, with football and I ended up getting a football scholarship. Played in college, you know, kind of just kept it under wraps. It was something I did on the side. And then when COVID happened, that was entering 2020, football had shut down, you know, they shut down the world. I had freshly gotten dumped out of a 4-year relationship. And was kind of just at a lack of, you know, I had a lack of identity at that point, and I was just really, really low on myself. And, you know, especially in Colorado, you know, our lockdown was pretty heavy. So I kind of just channeled a lot of that into my faith and into music. And so I started writing songs, and, you know, the only way that I knew how at that time, which was just very long songs and very, you know, poetic stories and stuff like that. But they turned out pretty good. And, you know, at that time, I never expected anyone to hear them. It was just that I wasn't able to go see my friends to kind of vent out my feelings or kind of process this really big life change for me at the time. And so I really was just kind of cooped up in my room, you know, and those were the only outlets that I had, was, you know, talking to God and singing music, country music, and kind of singing the cover songs that were helping me, you know, express what I was feeling, these heartbreak songs or whatever, and then just writing stuff that was on my chest. And so it was kind of a crazy situation that happened. I ended up posting the song Reasons by Luke Combs on Facebook, and this guy in my hometown reached out to me and said, "Hey man, you know, COVID restrictions are kind of allowing us to do some outside stuff, and we're gonna put up this big tent. We'd love it if you would sing some, like, play a gig." And I, you know, I had been praying for something just to get me out of the house and something just to kind of spark a new life a little bit into me. And you know, I just felt like in my gut, this was that moment. Everything around it was telling me I should say no, because
with keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, DCUCenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, DCUCenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
You know, I'm not ready, or I've never done this before. And, you know, I just decided to say that this was, I said yes. And he booked me on a Wednesday and I played on a Friday. And it was basically just about figuring out how to make it happen by that time. And so he had asked me if I had ever done it before. And I just lied to him and I said, yes, I have. And so I ended up printing out a binder full of like 60 songs. And, you know, I had asked my dad, I was like, who also was big on music. He kind of was an influential guy for my own music, you know, and just singing. So I asked him if I could use his sound system. He said, yeah. He said, do you know how to use it? And I was like, no. So he very briefly showed me how to get it all set up and all that stuff. So Friday rolls around and I'm just nervous all day. I don't even think I could sleep the night before. And I start pulling up to the venue. There's like 200 people here. And I drove by with my mouth wide open, like in slow motion. And I just was sweating through this like turquoise shirt that I had on. And it looked dark green by the time I had pulled in. And I remember setting up and getting ready to play. And I just looked out at the audience and I was just like, holy cow. You know, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I just, you know, closed my eyes and kind of said out loud, just make the jump. And I, you know, that was it for me. I was hooked by that evening, that last gig. That by the end of the gig, I was just, I love this. You know, this was everything I needed to start just healing from some of the small pains that I had in my life at the time. And, you know, those were really big moments in my life that kind of just changed a lot of things for me. And I ended up playing almost that whole entire year. Definitely that whole summer, I played Thursday, Friday, Saturday at local gigs, local bars and restaurants in my hometown. And, you know, I think that was, everything happened the way it was supposed to. just right at the right time for my career, because, you know, the world was shut down. So people were needing something to do, you know, and all there really was to do was to go out and or get on your social media. And, you know, there wasn't any big concerts going on, and some musicians were kind of afraid to go out and play. I just wasn't one of those. And so, you know, a lot of things were just, you know, were good for me at that time. Yeah. I was getting so many opportunities because I was like the only one doing it. And it just helped me grow so fast as an entertainer. And, you know, and just word of mouth spread throughout my state. And by the end of that year, by the next summer, I guess I should say, I started opening for artists at actual concerts, concert venues, you know, small dance halls or, you know, things like that. And they just happened to be like big artists as well, because, you know, the artists in Nashville were starving, you know, they were needing somewhere to play. So they were kind of taking gigs anywhere that would allow them. And so I got this really professional exposure so early. And, you know, I ended up meeting my good buddy and my mentor. Now, currently I'm signed with his label, is Craig Campbell. He sings the song Outskirts of Heaven, for the people that don't know. And he's an incredible artist.
I love that you name dropped and then said, you know, for those of you that don't know, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm probably biased, you know, because I'm in this all day long, and it's like, you don't know who Craig Campbell is. Like, where the hell have you been?
Right. Like, no kidding.
Anyway, and I digress.
Yeah. It's the worst thing to, like, I've known him for so long, and he's just the most talented and gracious man I've ever met in the business. And, you know, I hate that his claim to fame is the most underrated country artist in the business. I hate that.
Yeah. But you're right. You're absolutely right. I think he is one of the most underrated and underappreciated country artists.
100%. Yes.
You know, if you don't mind me jumping in, I want to
absolutely
talk about Craig for a second, because we got to meet him. Oh shit! In, what are we in, 23 and 22, I believe it was.
Okay.
And he played an acoustic gig here in Boston, and, you know, we took some pictures with him after and got to say hello, and like, he was the nicest person in the world. And he was like, you know, he was talking about his schedule. He's like, you know, I'm super busy, but, you know, just took the time to shoot the shit, you know, it was awesome. Like, and he didn't have to, you know, he could have just, you know, walked right out of the venue, went back to the hotel, got on his plane and left. But, you know, he didn't. And it was one of those moments that, you know, for somebody that covers country music, like, you don't forget those things. You don't forget the people that take the time to, even if they don't give a shit, pretend like they do.
Yes.
You know, and that goes a long way. It goes a long, long way. So how did you link up with Craig then?
Yeah. So similar, to kind of go off of some of the points you said, I ended up getting the opportunity to open for him. And, you know, I was freaking out because, you know, it was like, oh my gosh. It wasn't that long ago that Outskirts of Heaven was playing all over the place, you know? So, you know, but I was also, he was like the biggest guy at that particular moment that I had played with. So I was still very green, but also kind of getting even better opportunities. And that was kind of how it happened. I just got the offer to open for him, and I said, absolutely, like, no question. So I ended up, you know, at that time too, I just didn't know better, like, as far as performance wise. So I was still sitting on my bar stool, you know, flipping through pages of my binder. And, so as far as stage presence goes, I was, I had a lot of crutches, let's put it that way, but I was doing good. You know, I still was kind of learning to interact with the crowd, and, just had a few things that I needed to really tune up on. And, so when I had played for him, you know, I was still using those things, but he didn't care at that time. I don't think we ever thought we would end up doing what we've done over the couple of years that I've known him. But I, at the end of my set, and he was, I was helping the crew and him get set up, I just decided to be brave enough to say, you know, hey, Mr. Campbell, if you could spare, like.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
You know, 10 minutes when you're done, just let me pick your brain a little bit. I'd love to kind of get some advice and just things like that. And he said, hell yeah, man. He's like, I'll do you one better, buddy. Take my number down. Call me on Monday. And so, you know, he played, crushed it. I remember just being like pins and needles. I couldn't believe I had like this famous guy in my phone. You know, it was as simple as that at the time for me. And I remember I called him on Monday and we ended up talking for a couple hours, and he just gave me all of the advice that you could ask for at that time. And it was everything from, I would get this type of equipment if you want to sound like better. It's just easier to like for the sound guys to EQ you, or it makes your guitar sound better, pedals, just everything. And then it translated to my performance, which he said I had a lot to improve on. And those are the things you need to hear, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, I was going almost a year with people just saying how great I was. And, you know, I was getting all these opportunities, but I was up there while sitting with but nobody told me anything, you know, right. It was just, I just thought I was doing what everybody does. And so it was actually really good to hear that, because, you know, I need, and it's carried ever since. Like, I can't tell you how many, artists in the business lose opportunities because some big agency walks into their hour long set, just an hour, 45 minutes, and they've got their cell phone posted up on their mic stand. You know, yeah. It's a professional thing. And these agencies, they want to see that somebody's ready. They don't want to see, they need these little helpers, you know. And it's different if it's like a 2-3 hour gig, you know, or like some cover show, and you need to have, you know, that cell phone up for requests and all that. But when it's like a show or a 90-minute set, headline or whatever, you got to get rid of the phone. And like I said, he set me up for success way early on for that exact thing. And so, you know, he told me all these little pieces of advice. Obviously, stand up when you're playing. It's better for interaction with the crowd, you know, all that stuff. And I remember I left that phone call just thinking like, holy cow, you know, I'm going to fix all this stuff right away. I got on the computer. I was working construction at the time, so I was making pretty good money. And so I went online and bought all the stuff that he asked me to get. And I ended up playing, you know, about another 7 months before I met him again. And just by happenstance, the guy that was supposed to open for him got COVID and couldn't fly with him out from Nashville. So I got a call while I was on the job site last minute. Hey, would you want to open for Craig again? And I said, absolutely. Different venue this time. And called my boss. He was like, who thankfully was a fan of what I had going on. It was like, absolutely, dude, go for it. So was able to leave work early, got home, showered real quick, changed, grabbed my guitar, was on the road. And met him again, and he gave me this I just wasn't expecting like his graciousness. First of all, gave me this big bear hug, like we've known each other forever. And you know, I was just ready. I was so ready for this moment. And I don't think I was thinking anything would come of it. I just wanted to show him that I followed for the last 7 months of opening for guys or playing my own shows. I did what he had asked, and I wanted him to see the improvement and the growth. And, you know, I was ready to play some original music. And so I did all of it, and it was a great performance. And he watched my entire set, which, you know, that never happens. Like, yeah. It just doesn't. These guys, you know, not in any bad way. They just don't get go watch. But so he watched my entire set, took some video, came up to me at the end. He said, "Buddy, I'm a fan." He said, "I think you've got the it factor." And he said, "I think you need to be in Nashville." He said, "Let me show some of these videos to some of the friends that I know." And he said, "I can't guarantee anything, but," he said, I think you're good, man." I said, "I think you need to be out there." And so he called me about a week later and just said, "All right, man, you ready to come to Nashville?" And I was just like, holy cow. And yeah, I moved out there last June. And so I've been there a year and a half almost. And it's been the best thing ever for my career. Wow. And, you know, so that's how young Cody went from Colorado to Tennessee.
Damn, that's incredible. You know,
thank you.
Like, realistically, if you think about it, right, if you really, really think about it, you know, it's really only been, what, the last 2 years that you've,
yeah,
you know, really gone from 0 to 60.
Right.
You know,
pretty much.
And your growth, you know, has just been really, really incredible. And, you know, a lot of that is the music, right? Sure. A lot of that is you.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Sorry, man.
Oh, no worries. No worries.
Yeah, so what I was saying is, you know, a lot of it is, you know, your music, your performance, your, you know, your presence on stage. I mean, the songs alone speak for themselves, I think. What else, you know, how else have you been able to grow as much? Is it just hitting the ground, knocking on doors and putting yourself out there?
Right. I honestly, you know, I've learned several things. You know, there's a lot of, you have to keep a good attitude, first of all. I would say that if there's advice I would give anybody, it's keep a good attitude in this business, because you never know when your moment's gonna come. And yeah, I think I'm so far from where I want to be. Like, I don't even consider myself like as a guy that's made it, you know, I really don't. And have I done some amazing things? Absolutely. I think it's creating a great resume for when, you know, that big label or when that big moment finally happens, I can just lay out my booklet on the table and say, you know, this brand is created and it's done. You don't have to do much work. And we can just hit the ground running for growth. And, you know, I think that it's just maintaining a good attitude, recognizing that things don't happen overnight. Like, we live in a very big, nothing against the TikTok artists who've made it, but like, it's not always, that's not common, you know, right. As much as it feels like it is, it isn't common. And, you know, be wary and careful a little bit of these agencies who come reach out to you for these 2-year deals and they offer you $30,000 and you as a broke kid think that that's so much money, but it's not. You know, they're going to just strip you of all of your creative rights, all of your songs that you have to give. You know, they're going to use you and milk you for every penny they can drain you for 2 years. and then market you until you burn out from your own audience, and then they're just going to drop you on the Broadway corners of Nashville. So you just got to be careful, you know. And I'm really lucky that I do have and have had the advice of my mentor, who's been through it all, you know, the ups and the downs, the good contracts, the bad contracts, you know, and has kind of kept me a little bit, you know, it's not all sunshine when you're getting these deals too. There's a lot of, horns that are secretly on people's heads that they don't, you know. I would say if there is anything cutthroat about the business, it's that. It's just that people are, they love you when they love you, you know, that's about it. But, you know, as far as like, as far as the stuff that's helped me grow, man, it really is just knocking on the doors and not being afraid to reach, like, you know, I'm getting ready to go back down to Florida here in a couple weeks to play with my buddy Corey Kent, you know, and that just stemmed from not being afraid to go say, hey man, thank you for this opportunity getting open for you. Your team has been amazing, and kind of being confident enough in your own skills to just say that you're part of this. You know, you're not suffering from like any type of imposter syndrome, you know, which is hard to do. Sometimes it feels like, you know, am I even, cause it is. I mean, you wake up every day feeling like your regular self. And I listened to a podcast of Luke Combs that hit it right on the head. They said, the guy asked him, what does it feel like to be the guy? And he said, I don't know. He said, I still just wake up like everyone else and I have my own life to live. But he said, I think I really only feel like I'm the guy when I'm about ready to hit the stage. You know, it's because that's the moment you have to be the guy. And so I feel like that's truly what it is. I don't think however big you get, you just need to stay the person that you are, because that's the person that people are falling in love with. So, you know, I don't want to be like, I don't want to have some fake facade or, you know, be this guy to the stage audience and to my fans that isn't what they're going to see off stage either. And so, I don't know, like when I was talking with Corey Kent too, you know, he was like, I told him, yeah, we're, you know, reaching out for a bid to try to open for you down in Fort Myers on this date. And he just said, shoot, man. He said, if you get it, he said, let me know. He said, I'm on currently, you know, they're on tour with Jason Aldean. He said, we'll get you backstage and we'll just hang out, you know? And so we ended up getting the gig. So we're, you know, looking forward to that on the 26th and, you know, see kind of how all that stuff happens behind the scenes at the arenas. And then following that, they offered me my first overseas show to go open for them at the Osan Air Force Base for the USO in South Korea, July 3rd. So I'll be playing with, I figured out how to, a way to make that happen too. And so we'll be doing that. And man, that's really just what it's been. It's just, you'd be surprised how many people in this business are not a person of their word. You know, they say, yeah, I'll be there. And then they don't go.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I've made my career off of just finding a way to get there, you know, and saying yes to these opportunities. And I'll tell you what, like the biggest payout that I've ever received from doing stuff like that has just been more opportunities, because they're surprised that I was there, you know, they're
right.
And it's the simple things like Matt Stell, you know, I opened for Matt Stell and he told me, hey man, we're in Colorado for the next 2 days. You know, would you want to open for us for those next two shows? And I was like, yep. So I get on the bus, you know, just with what I had on and went with them. And then they were done. So my brother came and picked me up the last show, you know. Obviously I couldn't go with them, keep going with them back to Nashville. So I had to just stay there and I booked a hotel room. My brother picked me up the next day and that was it. And, you know, I just got so many great conversations from his band. And, you know, the guy that was playing guitar for him right now, or at that time is, you know, Morgan Wallen's lead guitar player now. And that was during while Morgan was on his kind of year hiatus. And so I really got to kind of make an impact on those guys. And, you know, we still have some of the relationships a little bit with those guys in Nashville now that I moved there. And, It's just been crazy. And like, I could, you know, pinpoint so many of those. Some of them, nothing came from it, you know, but it's like, you know, I opened for Travis Denning and a week later we were hanging out at one of the after parties for the country radio seminar, CRS, you know, and he remembered me and it was just the coolest thing. Like, it made me feel so good. And, you know, he was just really cool and we really built a relationship there. And, you know, everything did change for the better though, as far as being taken more serious after I moved to Tennessee.
Oh, I'm sure. So
it was just, it was night and day, you know, you can kind of just really speak the lingo, I guess. Yeah. And
yeah, I mean, I can only imagine, you know, that what a shift that must be, you know. Yeah. But I mean, you already had the groundwork, you know what I mean? You had the groundwork, you had somebody in Nashville that, you know, had your back, had your ear, you know. You honestly, you got the opportunity of a lifetime. Yeah. You know.
Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com.
And the chance of a lifetime with Craig to be able to, I don't want to say mold you, you know, but mold you to be successful.
Right. No doubt.
It's awesome. It's absolutely incredible. You know, and I'm flipping through here, right? And, you know, I tell everybody, I don't do any research about my guests before they come on, you know, because I want to hear the stories firsthand and not just sit here and be like, yeah, I know this. You know? But you know, I'm looking at some of this shit on your socials, and I apologize for my language.
You're good.
It's the New Englander in me. I just can't not swear. Dude, you've been doing some badass shit.
Thank you.
You know, like, you're doing it. You know, I'm looking at just, you know, you were at Whiskey Jam. Well, God, last week.
Yeah.
Out of the six people that played Whiskey Jam, and you're in good company, my friend. Right. Three of those, half of that lineup has been on the show.
Fucking, perfect.
You know, yeah. I guess that's a little like pat on my back, I guess.
Absolutely.
You know, I guess.
Well, that's what.
You know, but like, it's incredible for you. You know, you're.
Thank you.
You are making strides unlike, dude, most, I think. You know, and I think what the best part about it is, and please don't take this the wrong way, but you're making these strides. You've got fantastic music out there.
Thank you.
And you're also doing it kind of on the down low.
Right.
Like, it's almost like a rocket's about to explode, but nobody's, I don't want to say nobody's paying attention, because people are paying attention to you. But I don't think a lot of people are going to know what to do once you and your brand really are like, hey, we're here now.
Thank you. Yeah, man, I would thoroughly agree. I like to say that I'm building my, like you said earlier, I'm building a very strong foundation.
Yeah. And
brick by brick, you know, whatever it takes. And I do feel that I'm flying very under the radar for, you know, and it's not, and it's really just the subtle things. It's the little things. And it's little things I recognize that kind of keep myself positive. Is like, I'll listen to an artist who's, you know, like a podcast, because I like to study. I really do like to study a lot of other people's success, because I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. And a lot of my career has also been on kind of figuring it out based on studying other artists too, because, you know, I had to, you know, a lot of people will let you down too. Not saying that Craig is one of those guys, but I'm saying, just like when I had to figure out how to make a website, or I had to figure out what a EPK was, or my merch. I ended up kind of just having to figure it out on my own because, you know, the other people didn't follow through with what. So it's really made me a student of the music industry, you know, music, because I've just had to figure it out. And, but it makes me very proud of that. And I, you know, when I study some of these artists, like, again, it's not even, like you said, just a subtle pat on my own back. You know, I'll listen to some artist who says, yeah, I'm getting looked at by, you know, Warner Chappell label. And, you know, I just played this venue, my first headliner show. And, you know, it was sold out. It was 200 people. And I kind of just chuckle at that a little bit because, you know, I just played my own headliner show and sold out 2,000 people. And I've played venues where I've sold out several headliner shows at the same venue for 1,200 people. And I played a headliner show. My biggest headliner show I've ever played was a festival in front of 22,000 people.
Damn.
And it was, you know, and that was just this summer. And, you know, and it's like, I think what it's done is it's just like you said, it's, I know my moment's going to come and I just want to be prepared for it. So, you know, that's my thing. It's like, I want to have my booklet ready for this label or this agency, and they're going to just be shocked. Kind of like how you're saying for your own reaction of Jesus, we didn't even know that you were doing all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. You know, but you know, after talking to you and, you know, and getting to know you, like, you are ready. You are 100%. If somebody, you know, knocked on the door tomorrow, you have the resume already built. You know, it's already there. And if anybody can't see that, then, bro, those aren't people you want to work with anyway.
Right.
And you know, I keep, my head is spinning from you. You know, it really is, because, again, you know, and I don't want to sound offensive, but I think it's just the reality, you know, based on your under the radar, you know, you should be at the top of those, you know, year end lists of, you know, people to watch out for, and, you know, and all that shit. But a part of me is kind of glad you're not, you know, and because there's really the only pressure you're putting on is from yourself. And I think that's a better pressure than pressure from other people.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just, I can see I can see Craig coming to you one of these days soon, or somebody coming to you one of these days soon saying, hey, you're gonna make your Grand Ole Opry debut. I can see.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
You know, I just got chills even saying that. And when that happens, we might just get on the next fucking plane and come see
them. Definitely. I would, if that happens, you'll be backstage 100%.
Fuck yeah.
Cause we talked about it here first.
And, yeah. No, I'm telling you, I'm putting it out in the air because, again, not to pat my own back, but we've had several guests on, and then, you know, within not even 6 months, they're making their Opry debut. So
thank you.
Bro, you've come on the right show, man.
Thank you so much.
now for God, I just want to, like, fucking talk to you all day because this is so fascinating. Because I'm not gonna lie to you, right? Sometimes, you know, you and I have been shooting the shit now for seems like forever, right?
Right.
And I'm not gonna lie, you know, sometimes when I don't want to say you've been pushy because you haven't, you've just been present, you know. But like sometimes you get those artists that are present like that. And you're like, God, dude, you just suck. I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you're not that person. You are present because you have a goal. You have a vision. You have, you know, what's coming, and you have it in your brain. You've manifested it, and you're chasing that. And that, I got to say, man, like, that I think also sets you apart is that you have a dream. You have a vision. You're present, you're persistent, and again, not in a bad way, but you also have the talent and the songs to back it up.
Thank you.
I mean it. I mean,
thank you so much.
If it sucked, I would just be like, yeah.
Yeah, cool, man.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not going to lie to you, there's been a couple of artists that have been like, I need to be on. I need to be on. I need to be on. And right. It's like, your music blows. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, if the music blows, what am I going to talk to you about? Like, I don't have a totally. Connection.
You know? No doubt.
I know that. I sound like a total fucking asshole right now. But, you know, it's true. If you don't connect yeah. with someone somewhere, like, what are you going to challenge?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think I became realistic to that side of it too. Like, you know, you might love my music, but you know, the next guy might not at right. all. And people have those tastes. And like, so I've, you know, and that's another thing I would say for people that are wanting to do this too, is just keep, again, it's just keep your attitude, keep a positive attitude all the time. Believe yeah. in what you're doing. Don't try to be, because it happens when it's supposed to happen. And, you know, if it takes me 10 years to build the right fan base that loves everything that I do, then so be it. You know, I don't want these people that are kind of just like, nah, he's okay. You know,
right.
following me and trying to tear me down. And, you know, you just have to buy into what you're doing. And, you know, and I, like I said, too, I very much appreciate the people that go out of their way to stream my music, go to my shows, buy my merch, ask me to be on their shows, because it's untapped things for me. It's like, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be able to be up in Boston. So having the ability to spread my little seeds everywhere, you know, that's what's important to me. And I hope people get something out of this podcast that they're like, holy cow, you know, I want to follow this guy's story because I just want to be a part of his journey. Right. You know, I can't tell you how many people have attached themselves to me just because they're excited to be a part of it. And I love that. You know, well, it makes me so happy.
Dude, you're contagious, man.
Thank you.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, this is going to get, you know, we're going to get deep here, Cody. So
get deep.
get ready. You know, this year I've really kind of, come face to face with my own mental health, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie to you, the last few days have been tough, and I don't think I've smiled or been excited for any of the you know, and I've done a lot of podcasts now in the last few days, and like, this is the first one I've been like excited about, and like, I can, you know, because you exude that, like, you know, like, I don't know, go get them attitude. And it's just like, you know, I've been having a couple of days where I'm like, what am I fucking doing with this? Like, am I, yeah. you know? And then it's like, you get a conversation like this and you're like, oh, this is why I'm doing this. And it's like, it's, you know, so thank you for that. It's been,
no,
it's
thank
been
you. So yeah.
fun, man. Like, I feel like you're that person that I could just be like, you know, shoot a text to and be like, what's up, man? you know, like,
absolutely.
That's awesome. Like, cause you don't get that, you know, like, I do no. this. To build a relationship, to build a friendship, you know, I know
yeah.
this probably sounds super egotistical, but like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I want to spread your story and your joy and your excitement, you know, but I also, you know, I get a friend out of it, you know, that's how
yes.
I, you know, and it's, that's hell. That's the only, that's the main thing I care about. You know, I want to see you grow and do well. And you know, you're going to, honestly, this, you're going to do that with or without me, you know, but if I can help in any way, like, that's
definitely,
that's what I'm doing.
Thank you.
That's what I'm doing.
You, 100%. You already are, you know, allow me to have your platform, you know, and just tell my story. It really does mean so much to me. And like,
oh, good. I'm glad.
You know, I think there's a weird, you know, I didn't start music with the idea that it would be what it's become. You know, right. I never expected that to happen. And, you know, so I'm very lucky that I get to wake up every day and pinch myself, you know, and just be so thankful, I guess, yeah. that I'm doing this. And, you know, I think there's a different, you know, especially coming from Colorado, you know, it's like, where is the music industry? Where can I find the music business to try to make it? You just, right. it's hard. It's like, there's not anywhere you can turn in any direction that you can find that. And I think that, you know, when I moved to Tennessee, there's a lot of people that was their end game. You know, they were 5 years old when they said, I'm going to be a country star. And it becomes so robotic. You know what I mean? It just becomes, they become just like, what you would think an artist should be. And I don't know at what point somewhere along the line that we kind of put people on pedestals, but you know, I think, you know, it's, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just, but it is, it's like, what, why are we taking away, especially with TikTok? Why are we making everything just such about statistics?
Right.
You know, like, yeah. I can't tell you what it means to me to be able to talk to somebody and they tell me that, you know, one of my songs like has changed their life. You know, I have this little cult following here in Colorado that's like 40 strong, that they literally travel to whatever show I play. Like, no matter the distance, they're there. And,
damn,
you know, as I've gotten to know these folks, they all are dealing with something. And the most amazing thing is it's created this little community of people where they have become friends. And these kind of loner people that have gone through some very unfortunate things are like bright now. And they live for being able to see each other at the shows. They come to the shows just overjoyed with the fact that they're back where in their happy place. And that means so much to me because I realize the impact that it's having, you know, and there's so many artists out there that, you know, and I think there's a place for all of it, but they want to, you know, they sing about the party, you know what I mean? They want to be, they're the artist that sings about the cocaine. They sing about the party life. They cuss, they do all this stuff. But I quickly realized that my fans range from everywhere. Like, it's the older folks, it's the young kids, you know, young kids. And if I'm standing up there on stage singing about that type of stuff or cussing or talking vulgar, whatever it is, you know, that's just not, first of all, that's just not the guy that I am. That's not the way my parents would want me to be or raise me to be. And I do have fun. I absolutely have so much fun living this life and getting to enjoy all of it, you know, but it's more to me in that sense that I'm creating a platform for people to like be happy together, you know? And like you said, if that's the right way to put it, that it's just, I'm contagious to these people, then that's great. You know, I would want them to be able to come to my shows and feel welcome and at home here. Like, that's how I felt. I remember being the fan, you know, that's what I sometimes, you know, always will remind myself of is what was I feeling when I was a fan that attached me to an artist? It was that I felt like I knew them. I felt like I've never met them. I've never talked to them, but like I've listened to so many podcasts because this reason, or I've listened to his radio interviews and, you know, I go to his show and I feel like he's my best friend. You know, and I've attached myself to his music, and that's what I want to try to create.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
Create with people. Like, I have nothing to hide, you know, and my life is an open book, and you know, again, I think it is just people following my journey because they're like, man, this guy's following his dreams and working his butt off. And it's just awesome to see him achieving those things. And I wouldn't be able to do it without them, you know. And my dad has this really cool picture. I opened for Parmalee and Lone Star at a festival last summer. And the venue called me and the promoter and was like, how much do you charge for your meet and greets? That was the first time I'd ever heard that like, and I just said, I don't know. I don't charge for my meet and greets. And he goes, oh, well, what do you want to do? Like $25? I said, well, is there an option for me not to charge? I don't feel worthy enough to charge people to come and meet me, but I also don't want them to pay. They've already paid,
right?
You know, it was a weird kind of conversation. And he said, and he kind of explained it, like, I get it, you know, you're paying for the time. You know, but I was like, it's just, I want to meet them, you know, I want them to feel welcome talking to me, you know, and, you know, and obviously the other ones, they charged for it. But my dad has this picture, and it's Parmalee's booth, Lone Star's booth. There is not a single person in line. And there was like 78 people in my line, and I sold out of all of my merch that day. And it was, yeah.
Right there, right? Them buying the merch, that is their, your charge of meeting you, you know, in a way.
Right. Right.
You know, because, you know, I don't know how you go about it, but if you have to front all of that, you know, there it is.
Right.
You know, and that's just, yeah, I've always, I'm with you. You know, I've, when I was in college and stuff, you know, I followed a lot of jam bands, and, you know, they would hang out after shows and stuff. And it's like, it makes you feel more connected to whoever you're hanging out with or meeting. And then two, it makes you want to just support them even more, because it's like, oh, you know, in your instance, you know, Cody's a cool dude. I'm going to buy a hat. I'm going to buy a t-shirt. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do all these things, you know?
Right.
And, you know, bands or artists that do charge, you know, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, that to each their own, but they're also in a different place.
Right.
You know, they're in a place where they can, and it's gonna, their meet and greets are gonna sell out, and you're gonna get your 25 seconds and call it a day.
Right.
You know, it's such a wild thing, man.
Yes.
So now with all this growth, and, you know, what you're doing and people you're opening for, and you know, once we're done here and you can, you know, text Corey Kent and Craig and say, hey, this kid out of Boston is doing a really cool thing, you should get on their show. you know, for you, what do you, are you, I mean, you are, I know you are, you are ready to, you know, explode and spread those wings and all that, but what would it take for you to get up like this way and, you know, even do a mini tour, or, you know, something on your own where you can hit a couple of places and make it worth your while? I mean, we can get into the nitty gritty later, but I've got some things that I'm thinking about, and you know, there's no reason why you couldn't play up here.
Right. Zero. I think it's, you know, it would have to be a venue that's okay. It's a few things, I should say. Like, it's got to be a venue that's okay with me just playing acoustic if it's for the cost. Cause I know that, you know, like, as far as logistical reasons, like, I would hop on the plane next week and get up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's no problem. You know, it's more so just like, is it okay with the venue that it's just an acoustic show? You know, it would probably be a cover show, which I'm fine with. You know, I don't mind that, especially because it allows me the opportunity to sing everything that I can sing good and hit everybody's ear, you know, the right way. And, you know, you throw out the tip bucket or whatever. And it would also have to be somewhere that can provide the sound system for me, just because if we do drive, you know, that adds additional costs, which I don't think the venues or whatever would be able to pay those costs that we could, you know, make a good buck. And then that allows me to sell the merch as well, because that kind of offsets some of the loss.
Yeah.
You know, that these, cause that's typically how it goes, that how it's gone. When I've tried to get into a new venue, it's like, well, we don't know you, we don't know how you'll sell, which is respectable. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how you mitigate some of that is just saying, okay, you know, if you could provide these things, I'll play the show for, you know, $500 with the band, and, you know, I'll sell my merch and see if I can break even.
Right.
So it kind of just depends. Like, if it's, if they're okay with it just being acoustic shows, you know, and we would kill it. I mean, I'm confident enough in saying that about myself that I, you know, I've been doing it long enough that I know that I would kill it, you know, and I kind of like that. I like being able to kind of surprise the venue and just like, holy cow, you know, who do we have in here right now?
Right.
I live for that feeling, man. I just love it because it is. It's just flying under the radar. And, you know, and it's like there's always that one song that just turns the bar's head or the venue's head. And it's just like, holy cow, you know, who is this guy? And that's usually all it takes. And then everybody's just locked in. So it's I would say that it's really just those simple things. But, yeah, man, I would love to get up there for sure. To meet you and, you know, kind of. See, I've never been up that far in the country before. So, in fact, I just sat next to a lady on the plane. Her name was Debbie. And when it was my last trip down to Florida last week, she was an older gal. And, you know, we kind of just started talking on the plane. And she was from Massachusetts. So it's funny. But
yeah, most people that are in Florida are from Massachusetts.
Yeah. That's what she said. She said, yeah, I'm not a snow bunny.
That's awesome. Cody, I think what you're doing is great, man. I'm so happy you're here and, you know, telling your story. I wish I didn't have an appointment coming up. But, you know, before we'll touch base again, we'll do a whole, you know, this, we should do a regular, you know, the Cody and Jim hour. And
definitely.
But before we get going, because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, we obviously have to ask about your boots and we have to ask about your whiskey of choice. So,
all right.
What are those?
So my boots of choice, my favorite boots that I've ever bought are an Exotic Python. They're a tan boot. They're super comfy. I got them in Lazar, Texas. And, you know, just they are probably the best boot I've ever owned, but they were like $550, but it was worth every penny.
Nice.
And you asked about whiskey.
Yes, sir.
So I would say I'm a Crown. My favorite drink is double shot Crown and water on the rocks.
What?
So yes. Bro. So bro. I know.
You're an American.
I know.
Canada.
You know.
Canadian whiskey.
I think I just got to get exposed to better bourbons and whiskeys, man. Crown is cheaper for my budget, and it, you know, it's just
touche. But you know what, Jack Daniels is pretty inexpensive.
Man, I've had some run-ins with Jack and Honey that I just can't drink it anymore.
Girl, same.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, man. Well, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much again for being here and taking the time to shoot the shit and you know, tell us your story. I'm super psyched for you, and I'm looking forward to watching you grow and, you know, eventually get into that circle, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. And you'll be the first person I call, man. Besides my mom.
Oh,
besides
my mom. Yeah, call mom.
But you'll be there.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep, cool.
But you'll be there for sure. And I appreciate you giving me this platform. I appreciate this show, you know, and, you know, for everybody that's listening that wants to take a chance on Cody Cause, man, thank you so much for believing in me. And I hope I can get up to Boston soon.
Yeah, man. Get on the cause, everyone. Get on it.
Yes, we'll, sir.
All right, Cody. We'll talk soon, brother. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Cody. Absolutely love this dude. Such a cool guy. I, you know, funny as all hell. Can't wait to actually meet this dude in person. And hopefully next time we're in Nashville and he's around, we can get together and have a drink or two and, you know, really, really get into it and, you know, have a blast. So thank you, Cody, again for everything, for coming on and telling your story. And again, I'm holding you to that Opry invite. So, get on that, bro. You know, for everybody else, thank you again for coming on, not coming on, but listening to the show, coming on to your, you know, your mobile device and listening to our show today. Thank you so much for that. Again, don't forget to go to our socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're on Twitter and all that too, but you know, you're going to get most of the stuff on Instagram and Facebook and all that. So thank you again so much for tuning in. We have one more episode coming on Friday. We have our good friend Andrea Vasquez coming on the show. We did talk about her a little bit on Monday's show with Molly Lovett. If you haven't checked that out yet, go on and check it out. We have a bunch of great episodes still to come. We have episode 200 coming out soon. And episode 200's guest is somebody who has already been on the show, one of our biggest episodes to date, and we wanted nothing more than to have this person back on for episode 200. So thank you so much for everybody for making all of these episodes possible, and we'll see you on Friday with Andrea Vasquez. Until then, guys, keep the boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers. Thank you for being here. And if you haven't noticed, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see you on Friday. Cheers, y'all. Good night.